everyone, and welcome back to Rethinking Supply Chain. Thanks again for joining us. I'm here with my host, John Abrams. John, I just want to dive right in. I know Venzi's been talking about something with linear versus network supply chains, and I've been hearing that a bit too. Can you kind of tell me a little bit more about that and how that's relevant to people these days?
Yeah, thanks so much. We commissioned some university research year or so ago about the supply chain. Is the supply chain and its future going to look like the way it is today? Meaning, are the processes calcified and do they kind of stay the same, and is that good? Or is there going to be a disruptor like an Amazon that comes into supply chain and makes it all different and better and good or what have you? And the research came back with something that I've been in supply chain for 20 years, and the research came back with something that I thought was really profound. And the idea in essence was that supply chain for 5,000 years since the early Grecian traders, for 5,000 years, supply chain has been linear, meaning you make a product, so you carve a wheel out of stone and you roll it to the market, and you sit at the market and you wait for somebody to show up and buy the product, and you hand it to them and they go away, and that's very linear. And any manual process, so let's say I have paperwork that travels along with the sale of that wheel from manufacturer to market to sale, that paper paces a linear product because it's one step at a time. So if you imagine the product gets put in a box, the box gets put on a truck, the truck gets put on a train or on a ship and conveyed to market, those are all linear processes, and paper can pace those. And so here's an interesting visual. If you ever imagine a port where container ships are coming in, you will still see people walking around the dock with clipboards in hand. And the reason they're doing that is that the automation or the digitization of that container ship into the port isn't there. So there's a little bit of global trade systems that exist, but not a lot. And so you have these manual processes that pace a linear supply chain. So step by step by step, and paper, manual processes can keep up with that manual process. And that is the way supply chain has worked for 5,000 years. And I argue it still works that way today. The pivotal piece of information, or the most impressive piece of information in this paper to me, was that we are operating a linear supply chain in the age of network. And what a network is that anything can communicate with anything else within that network. There's no friction between those endpoints. And so if you imagine a linear trade model, so manufacturer to market to sale to consumption, that's a manual process, a linear process. And then you imagine a network process where anybody on the node can interact without friction with any other place on the node, you have linear existing in an era of network. And what that tells me is that as network removes barriers, so the internet, for example, the internet hates the middleman. And so if you are a middleman in the age of the internet, you're displaced. And that's why Amazon does so well, is that you don't need the bookseller anymore at the store because Amazon is the bookseller. They're also the tire seller. They're also the car seller. They're also the seller of anything that needs to be sold without an intermediary. And so they're taking full advantage of what you would say is the network effect to disintermediate, as the internet does, any middleman. And so what this research that we commissioned does is suggest that the linear supply chain will be disrupted with the network, quote unquote, such that any part of that supply chain can interact with any other. And what I would suggest is that will be more disruptive than the emergence of the internet itself, because it gets to the heart of trade across the globe and in every instance of trade. So just one more thing on the linear versus network. I did see, and I think it was a Forbes blog, and we'll have to find a way to append this to the podcast, but I did see for the first time somebody else writing about it. It was in a blog, but I think it was Forbes, so there was some high-quality work there, and it was the same concept written in the era of the pandemic. So there are some legs to this, and it is one of the more interesting things about what I think the future of trade is going to be impacted by.
Awesome. That's a lot to digest. So I'm still kind of digesting all of that. Can you give some like real life examples? I know you talked about Amazon and how they've been able to bypass the middleman. Can you give some more examples of companies that we would all know today and how they've, kind of switched from that linear to network model?
Yeah. So I'll give a personal example. I was educated as a journalist with a computer science degree. Not to get too excited about the computer science, I can code in Fortran, which is not at all relevant to anyone today. But I'm a journalist. And when I was working at Chicago Tribune, I was working with some folks outside the company, John Gage and Vint Cerf. John Gage was a co-founder at Sun Microsystem, which was long since absorbed by a much larger company. And Vint Cerf, who's still out there today, I think now working for Google, but Vint Cerf, grandfather of the internet, truly, and a brilliant guy. And these guys were visionaries in the world of the internet, and I was at Chicago Tribune, and they were suggesting that the internet would be a good thing for the Chicago Tribune to get involved with. And I won't go through all those stories. Those could be a podcast in and of themselves, although unrelated to supply chain. What the internet did ultimately to newspapers was it made them irrelevant. And so this idea of the internet disliking the middleman, newspapers for the most part were middlemen for conveying classified sales information to people that wanted to buy. So the most expensive real estate in a newspaper were the classified ad pages, and the internet allowed somebody who wanted to sell something to post it on Craigslist or on AOL and disintermediate, go around the newspaper. And as soon as that happened, almost as soon as it happened, the revenues for every major metropolitan daily in the country disappeared. And that fall was, when I say instantly, in under 10 years, Chicago Tribune went from being a massive and valuable commodity, or massive and valuable business, to irrelevant. And so when the internet disintermediates, takes out that middleman, it leaves carnage where the middleman used to be, but creates much more efficient dynamics. And so what I believe is going to happen with the supply chain is that third parties that are middlemen in the supply chain, and there are lots of them, will be the internet carnage of say the 1990s, where the internet took out many physical selling entities, bookstores, newspapers, things that were middlemen, and allowed direct trade to occur. And as that direct trade now takes hold of the supply chain itself, the devastation for those that are simply middlemen will be severe, but the optimization of the supply chain end to end will be profound. And I believe one of the most important means to unlock value that the globe has ever seen.
Wow. Yeah. I think it's hard to kind of like think about the devastation that'll occur, but then, you know, when you think big picture and long term, the benefits that digitizing supply chain will lead to are far greater and far outweigh any kind of devastation that we might face in the short run. And like you mentioned, we kind of saw that a little bit back in the 90s already, right? And it seems like everybody turned out okay and the world turned out okay. We're still going.
Yeah, there's a lot of good that comes from removing inefficiency and the supply chain today. And you can see the inefficiency during the pandemic because it's everywhere we go in the retail space. So taking out inefficiency is a net good for the globe, but it is often a for those that are conveyors of inefficiency. That's disruptive and it's painful and it's ugly. But I do think that the value that gets unlocked by digitizing the supply chain, it's sort of like I remember being in the hall of Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue, which has now been sold as condominiums. But back in the day, we had beautiful office space decorated by Marshall Field. And I remember talking to one of our chief leaders, and I was saying, what do you think AOL, which we made a small investment in, what do you think that means? And his answer, and I'll never forget it, is like, it'll be like we all get a second phone number. And I was puzzling at that. And, you know, you look back at it now, AOL was one of the early innovators in the age of the internet. Granted, it was a walled garden and it has all the challenges associated with it. But that we were looking at things like an email address that had AOL.com on it and saying, yeah, it's just like another phone number, not missing the entire transformative nature of what the internet did to newspapers. So when we talk about what will digitization mean to supply chain, I think we're kind of in that same space. It's sort of unknowable. So I don't fault the leader for not understanding the value or the impact of AOL or the internet, because it's very hard from the position we are all in today to imagine the massive change that we are starting to embark upon. So when we speculate, it's sort of like that hallway conversation, almost impossible to know.
That's fair. I think that's entirely fair, especially in this day of COVID-19, where you know nobody really knows what tomorrow is going to bring. I think it's a fair mindset to say we can't predict what digitizing all supply chain across the board is going to bring in a year, 5 years, 10 years down the line.
Yes, but we can say that it will be massive. How that manifests in every part of logistics, of supply chain, of commercial sale is really hard to predict. And it's, again, why Venzi focuses very specifically on that last mile, because we know what that last mile looks like. What this looks like in aggregate over the next 5 years really starts to hurt the brain when you try to imagine that.
I think that's fair. And I actually had a question for you back when you were talking about the linear versus network that I just forgot to bring up. But are there any business models in 2020 that would still benefit from a linear supply chain model? Or is that just entirely outdated, antiquated, and we should all be moving to the network model.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know that anyone says this. You, there may be some profound speaker out there that has a pithy quote about you can't fight the network model, but you can't fight the network model because what your question suggests is that a little bit of inefficiency is good. And I don't know where that is the case. I think when you look at, as a one-time journalist, I miss the days when, the Sunday paper would show up and, it was so much content and so much information and so much good journalism. And none of that exists anymore on paper delivered to my doorstep for virtually pennies every day. None of that exists. So is that a net loss? For me, I'm old fashioned and yeah, it's a net loss for me. But one can't argue that the disintermediation of the physical paper isn't a net good. I can now get a weather forecast that in some cases can save my life instantly on my iPhone. The newspaper could never do that. So is it a net good? I think so. Do I miss the fact that I got great journalism for virtually free? Yeah, but you know what? I can still go and find great journalism on the internet, very quickly. And I get a lot of other benefits from taking out the slowness of creating print on paper and putting it in a car and delivering it to my doorstep. I got a lot of benefits by being a more efficient consumer of information in real time. Are there some downsides? Yeah. But overall, net good.
I like that. And I think that's a big takeaway from this episode is net good. Look at the big picture. I think people in this day and age, especially like with the media, people like to complain about every little thing that could go wrong. But when we do look at the big picture, like you said, there is that net good. And I think that's what we should all be focusing on, staying positive with that and looking forward to the future. Well, awesome. Thanks so much, John. That wraps up another episode of Rethinking Supply Chain. We will be back next time to talk more about supply chain with you. Thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. It's brought to you by Venzi, intelligent product content distribution for enterprise commerce. Learn more and say hello to us at venzi.com. That's VENZEE.com.